Hello everyone, my name is Shang.
My name is Kaylin.
And together, we are from
The Mentoring Circle. You are listening to The Mentoring Podcast. We will bring in experiences of mentors and mentees, and we hope that this could be something useful for you. Hey Shang, have you ever felt lost in school?
Wow, I feel lost every day actually. Well, I think the first time I truly felt lost could be when I entered university as a freshman.
Wow.
Okay. I was struggling to find out more about econometrics, more about statistics, what modules to take, how to chart out the modules. Subsequently, I was trying to find out more about finance, about what's the intricacies of quantitative finance, what field of finance I should be in, and what's the difference between buy side and sell side. Currently, as I said, I'm still lost. And I'm trying to find out which company I should apply for next year's summer internship. Thus, I'm trying to find seniors and alumni that I can speak to give me some guidance and more information about various companies' cultures.
Mm. Actually, that's something I have experienced as well. And I'm glad that I had a great mentor back then who guided me along the way. His name is Michael Ong and he's working at JP Morgan as analyst. Indeed, he's one of the speakers today. Together with Michael, we have Kai Si and he's working at Circles Life as associate at strategy and operations.
Thanks for coming today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks, guys.
So, Kai Si and Michael... Actually, for the sake of listeners, could you tell us more about your life in SMU?
Okay, my name is Michael. I've just recently graduated from SMU with a degree with information systems and a second major in advanced analytics. Yeah.
And hi, I'm Kai. I'm a year 5 student. I'm currently completing my final semester. Kind of delayed my graduation to do a leave of absence at Circles. Like Kaylin mentioned, I'm currently an associate in strategy at operations at Circles Life. Very happy to be here and kind of talk about our mentoring experience. Yeah.
So aside from the academic side, what do you guys do in your spare time here at SMU? What CCAs do you join?
Okay, so I've joined two main CCAs. Firstly, on the year one, I joined the SMU Broadcast and Entertainment, particularly in the campus TV. So what they do is to film as well as to edit videos. And in year two, I've actually, together with Kai Si, took on the role of marketing and communication director for SMUBE, where our whole aim is actually to build up, to help students in SMU to build up their Photoshop capabilities. So from the last I heard, I think it's still doing quite well. So I think me and Kai Si is actually very proud of it. Yeah, and for my last semester, since I have relatively more time, I actually joined two CCAs. Firstly, is as a mentor for the mentoring circle. Yay. And yes, yay. I've learned so much from there. And I have a great mentee, which is Caitlin, as well as being the marketing director, as well as the curriculum director for SMU's Business Intelligence and Analytics Club.
Mm, yeah. So Michael has done a lot.
I think we've both led fairly prolific CCA lives. I'm just gonna kind of touch on a few big ones. I think I came into SMU with kind of the intention of going to the public relations industry, so that's kind of reflected in the CCAs that I've chosen to join over my time here. So the ambassadors, SMU ambassadors, the ambassadorial corps actually is one of the big CCAs that I've really spent a lot of my fulfilling time in SMU with. That's one. Like Michael mentioned, we also did spend a short stint together kind of working on broadcast and entertainment. Like he said, it's kind of on the film side on campus TV. I've kind of been active as an MC for a few years now. And then aside from that, I was also involved in Conjunct Consulting. So that was great fun as well. And then of course the Corporate Communication Society, which I just stepped down from. So yeah, we've really kind of enjoyed our CC experiences a lot. And that's something we really bring into, you know, the mentorships that we've had through the mentoring circle. Yeah.
I'm going to tell them about your vice president's positions.
That's not.
Please do. I'm quite sure the listeners.
Yeah,
are
no.
Really
so, okay. So it's all for you, listeners. So I've really had like the privilege to be the vice president of both the ambassadorial call at one point, I think from 2015 to 16, and then immediately after from 2016 to 17, as you know, the founding exco, right, of the Corporate Communication Society. Yeah. So something again that I encourage my mentees to kind of do is to really take up a leadership position. And Michael shot the arrow first, but he's gonna be someone who you know, who will be very able to share about why you should take leadership experiences as we move on in this podcast as well.
I think that's a question for later.
Mm-hmm. But let's move on to talk about more about mentors. So you are both have experience in the mentoring circle.
Mm.
Could you tell us more about the mentors that you have in your workplace? Do you have anyone that you look up to in your workplace?
Yeah. So I think before we kind of answer that question, it's really useful to kind of draw a very key distinction between what professional mentorships look like in the corporate world and how TMC attempts to model that within SMU, right? I think the main difference between me and my mentor in the workplace, so for example, where I work at Circles Life, right? As an associate, I work directly with the co-founders. So in that sense, there's a very huge right gap in like of seniority. There's a huge gap in terms of experience. So where that really comes into its own is that you're really kind of fast forwarding your learning, right? Like that is kind of the whole point of mentorship, I feel, right? You're kind of being able to draw immediately from, you know, 10, 15 years of experience. And that's typically the kind of gap that you would have between yourself and your mentor out there. That's what my mentor is like. He's someone who sits down with me, has a chat and says, you know, these are the things you need to work on. This is what I've learned. And you really learn a lot about how it's kind of a window for you, like into one vision of what your future could be 10 to 15 years down the road. So that's like the real immediate benefit of a mentorship in a corporate world. And to loop it back to TMC, right? How does TMC attempt to replicate that learning experience? The first main difference is really that, you know, the maximum kind of difference in years and experiences, like kind of 4 or 5. And us as mentors, me and Michael, as much as we sound like we've got a lot of CCAs going on, we've got our internships going on, we don't 100% really know what we're doing, right? Relatively compared to someone out there. But still, right? So you've got 4 years of additional years of bidding for modules, you've had additional internships, you've thought through more stuff, and then a little bit further down the road. So it's about still bringing that experience and fast forwarding, right? Someone else's learning experience. Like, yeah, Michael, like you, yourself and Kaylin, right? Like she came in and she was like, you know, I kind of want to do something in analytics. And you are someone who's been down that path for a while. So actually, yeah, I would love to hear like your perspective with regard to Kaylin on how you managed that and what kind of value you were able to add to each other.
Yeah, so I guess I agree with Kaisi about this. When I started mentoring Kaylin, I was really afraid of what I was, whether I've been teaching her the wrong things or what can I do better to actually help Kaylin achieve what she wants. Because I think a very important thing when you have mentors is to actually build like a goal setting. Make sure to understand where they want to be in the future. It can be it doesn't have to be concrete, but it has to be somewhere that the person to improve. It doesn't have to be just academic, it can be just their communication skills, or maybe how something like that. So to end on about internships, the mentors. So previously I was in an internship in General Electric Healthcare. So I had a mentor there. So having a mentor there is actually quite good because he knows what you are doing on a daily or weekly basis. And you can ask him questions about the firm or maybe about you, how are you developing in terms of your how well are you doing in your internship, or maybe are you giving off a wrong kind of vibe when you are communicating with others. So I think I've learned quite a lot from my mentors in my internship. I think for the listeners out there, I think the most important question you can ask your mentor is, out of 10, where do your mentors grade you in terms of that week or that month of how often do you meet? And then if he happened to give you a below a 9, ask him what are some ways that you can do such that he will be giving, next time that he will grade you, you'll be a 10.
So it seems like both of you are very experienced in this field, both being a mentee as well as a mentor. I'm just curious, when at your workplace, do you face any difficulties in approaching your mentor? How do you actually communicate with them when they are really busy at work?
Was there any time or story that you guys could tell us about experience, something similar to that?
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of works both ways. So I'll share like two quick experiences, both from the perspective of a mentee at Circles Life and as a mentor in the TMC, right? And it goes back to a pretty important insight that Michael just brought up, actually. So part of that initial onboarding process that I had with my mentee, Kogin, right, in TMC, as well as with my mentor in Circles Life, is that when you first meet, you have that goal setting process. And part of that process is also about laying down the norms, right? Making them very explicit, you know, where you and your mentor, or you, when you and your mentee sit down and you agree on, you know, when is an appropriate time to contact me, right? What is the optimal way in which you work? Should I check in with you for weekly feedback, or are you comfortable just like kind of poking me across the table and just saying like, you know, this is bad, do it again? Yeah. So I had that with my mentee in TMC, where I was like, okay, call in, like just hit me up at like 2 a.m. just like DM me. And with my mentor, it was similar as well. So he's kind of always on, but he's a family man. So then we negotiate this thing where I'm like, okay, you know, I can WhatsApp you during weekends and you're open, but like, you know, I may not get an immediate response. And it's the same thing for him to me. Like, he respects my weekends and I respect his. So these are the norms that you have to negotiate at the beginning of the relationship, right? Really sets the ground for like a very productive relationship between mentor and mentee. And yeah, and these are things that evolve as time goes by. But it's really important that you sit down, and as part of that goal setting process, like Michael mentioned, that you have that agreement with your mentor or your mentee so that you get off on the right track.
Yeah, so on to Kaisi. I think one thing about something different from what Kaisi mentioned is how do you actually find a mentor? I think this one important thing is like, how do you find one? I think the main thing is to actually approach someone that you look up to, and just ask whether I'm interested. You seem really experienced in this field, let's say in data analytics, or maybe you look really good in your presentation skills. Like, could you like, do you have time for like a short coffee chat? Maybe I can just ask you like, how do you get to where you are? So I think a lot of people are afraid, and they have these kind of questions like, what if he's really busy, or what if he doesn't really want to talk to me, or maybe he's not what I really want in a mentor. But I think that if you really just reach out and just have a short coffee chat, maybe you can understand him better, and you can learn a lot from just talking to people.
Was that your experience with someone from SMU?
Not from SMU. So more of my specialties, more of my passion is actually on data analytics. So I will go to a meetup, and I saw someone who I really admire or really looked up to. And
this meetup, was it at a networking session?
Yes, it's a networking session. So you can just go up to anyone and like, hey, I'm really interested to hear more about you, more about what you have to say. Do you have time maybe next week to maybe meet you up for coffee, for example? And we just meet up, and from there on, he continued to mentor me.
Well, so that's a bold move, right? And I just kind of want to recap where we've been to this point. We kind of talked about, you know, how do mentorships work, the difference between being a mentor and mentee in TMC, and what it's like out there. And Michael just kind of delved, and we also kind of talked about how to start off a mentorship in terms of how to set the ground right, in terms of negotiating the terms with your mentor. And then Michael just kind of went into how you would actively approach a mentor. So my question is, I know I sound like, I know I talk a lot, but like, you know, I'm not really the kind that would be as gutsy, right, and go out and be like, hey, you know, be my mentor. That's something I'm not comfortable with. So actually, Michael, what would you recommend that someone who is more like me, who, you know, might be a little bit more shy in approaching a mentor?
Sure.
How would you recommend that they, for real, like, how would you recommend that they, you know, find their own mentors if, you know, there's this barrier, you're shy, you're not sure, you know, what's in it for them?
Yeah, totally understand. So one of the things that was advised to me is also you can actually just email them if you're in a particular company. You can just reach out to use email to just, hey, a short introduction and say what you wish to learn from them and see what time you have for quick like lunch or coffee. A second thing is that some companies actually do have the do have places where we can actually connect people who want to be mentored and people who want to be mentored. In SMU, but in particular, the mentoring circle is actually one of it where you can actually year ones and year twos can reach out and find mentors, whereas well, year three and year fours can actually be mentors to these juniors, sophomores and freshmen.
Okay, so I think both of you believe in the value of being a mentor and also have a fair bit of experiences in this field. So have you ever thought that mentoring was a waste of time on your end as a mentor?
Do you have any negative experiences?
Yeah.
Oh no, absolutely not really. I think that's actually one of the key misconceptions that I kind of want to address for our listeners here, right? Like that's one of the fears that you may have, and that's one of the fears that I had, right? And I have actually when kind of approaching someone to be a mentor. That central question, right? I am like a scrub. Like, right? Like I'm a junior, right? I know nothing, I'm entry level, and this guy is, you know, even in TMC, right, seniors, and imagine when you go out into the corporate world, this guy is 10, 15 years ahead of me. Why would, you know, what's in it for them, right? Why would they want to sit down and walk me through like something that they've been through like 15 years ago, right? And I think the answer is very simple, right? Like, it's just really rewarding to be giving back. Like, that's what keeps me coming back. So, beyond TMC, actually, so ASMU, the Ambassadorial Corps, has its own mentorship program. The Lee Kong Chian School of Business has its own mentorship program for freshmen. Even Conjunct has its own, like, mentorship program. And there are juniors in BE who come to me as well. And I don't, like, want to punish myself. Like, I do this because it's fun, right? It's genuinely rewarding. Like, I think it's just nice to feel that you're useful. And having been in that position as a mentor, I think it's important to remember that underneath those, like, 15 years is someone who was once exactly as lost or even more so than you, right? And it's really rewarding for them, for me, right, as a mentor, to come back and say, you know, I've been through this and I want you to do better, right? This is what I've learned, and if this makes your life easier, like, yo, let's do it. Like, it makes so much sense. You're able to help someone in such like a tangible way in a very short span of time. So I think these like hours add up, and so that's where the perspective of, oh, you know, like, am I wasting so much time having coffee with like juniors who don't even know what boss is or how it works? But like, you really see the impact la, that you're making on these I almost said kids, I'm not that old. You see the impact that you're making on these juniors, right? And yeah, it's really rewarding in a way that other relationships aren't. Yeah.
But besides that, like, have you learned anything else out of it?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, you're not always mentoring juniors. And actually, Michael, you would know, right? Because you took a very, like, unique path as well. Like, your mentees are almost never doing the same thing as you, right? So even some of my juniors who are doing marcoms, which is something that I've had a lot of experience in, they want to kind of move into something else. And that's when you're like, oh, tell me more. Because in a sense, they are, if you think about life as an RPG, right, like, it's like they are like 10 levels behind and you took like the mage class, right? And now they're taking like a different class path, right? So for all the RPG players, that's a very immediate way to kind of understand it. It's like reverse learning, right? You kind of get their perspective into, you know, like, what could this path look like? So it's definitely not like a one-way relationship. You're definitely taking things away from your mentee as well. You're really compressing a lot of different perspectives in a very short span of time. So that's where the real takeaway is.
Yeah, I guess for me, I think my soft skills isn't really good because before IS, I used to be more technical. So I have issues with, I still sometimes do have issues with communication skills. But I think being a part of mentoring circle, it helped me in terms of how do I communicate better? What is a better way to say a certain thing so that Caitlin will understand better? It's much easier. Something that I need to learn, that I'm learning now, is how to be more nurturing and not so, I used to be really straightforward. Yeah, so, okay, how do I say a certain sentence such that it sounds much more nicer and the person will start thinking and not just shut down or just be defensive. Yeah.
Was there any situation, Michael?
Yeah.
No, I think it's not that bad. Hopefully. Sometime.
I think my mentor Michael is actually quite strict, because I think a lot of times he doesn't spoon feed me and gave me the whole spectrum of things that I have to know, etc. So he actually gave me time to explore on my own, and he just gave me a few tips on where I should look out for opportunities. And from there, I actually went online to check out for tech meetups, events in school, CCAs in school, and or any other online resources. So it's a lot of self-exploration process, and I think he's there to guide me. And it's very important for you to understand that as a mentee, your mentor is not Google that you can find answers for whatever questions you have. So it's important for me to know that he's there to guide me, and I have to do my research on my own and ask intelligent questions. And I feel that he has been a very good mentor, and I always look up to him because he has very good technical skills, which is very difficult for me as a business student.
But could I ask, is there anything that you guys, either of you can answer, but is there anything that you think can be improved from this mentor relationship?
Nothing on my side.
We'll cut that out.
Yeah, sure.
I think for mentee mentoring experience, as in one important mindset we should have is that it doesn't mean that we are paired to one mentor. We can only ask the mentor about the skills that he has or the experiences he has. Like, we should keep an open mind that in any case that maybe, let's say I wish to improve my communication skills, that maybe my goal is also improving, like he can actually maybe refer me to any other mentors out there, like more like informal mentors that I can reach out to. So it's important to keep a mindset that, yeah, keep an open mind that is, you can always look, like ask your mentors to refer you to another person. You can learn from anyone out there.
Yeah, I kind of want to jump on that, right? Because Kaylin just mentioned, you know, she just kind of broadened the idea of, you know, what you can use your mentor for, right? So what you just said about not just using a mentor as a Google, right? But really about tapping on their networks and, you know, like, you know, asking them really open-ended questions. And I kind of want to, there was a point that came to mind, linking back to Shang's question on what can be improved between mentors and mentees. And I'm going to answer that in the context of TMC, right? Or like, mentorships at this level within a university context when a gap is much smaller. So what I've found over the years, right, is that for an effective mentorship, right, like the mentee needs to be someone like Kaylin, right? It needs to be someone who's really like engaged, right? Like they're doing the homework, they're going back like, okay, what are the intelligent questions? My mentor is, I'm not expecting my mentor to feed me answers. I need to go in with the right questions and then think about those things on my own, right? Michael is a sounding board for me, but it's not like Google or Bing or like Baidu if you prefer, right? But like, I think in the uni context, like, not all people are ready to be mentees, right? I think you have to remember that, like, a lot of the freshmen coming in, like, the guys have done army for 2 years, right? So their brains need time to recover.
Very true.
But they're coming in, they're confused, it's a new environment. So what I found is that actually in a university context as compared to a corporate context, right, sometimes when your mentee isn't quite ready to be that engaged, you might need to be more of a coach, right? And what I mean by that is to take an almost more interventionist approach. As a mentor, you're really, like, I think Michael's a good, like, model, right? And also a model mentor as well. like, you know, he's coming and giving you open-ended responses. But sometimes you need to be like, okay, you know what? This is what you need to do for boss. And then you need to go in and like, okay, this is the right thing to do, right? Because I did a lot of my mentees when they first came in. They would come to me with like, Abang, I don't know what's going on with like my boss bidding. What do I do? And I was like, you need to consult the boss bidding guide. What will you do in this situation? And that's not very helpful. I think, yes, it grows them because it forces them to do the work on their own. But sometimes they just need like someone to tell them, okay, like, you know, there are no like adverse consequences if I like have to like figure out boss on my own. It's just easier. So sometimes you do need to be a coach, and they'll come to you with questions like, you know, how can I do better for this presentation? A very directed skill. And there are contexts in which it would make sense to be like, tell me what your plan is, right? To play the mentor. Tell me what your plan is. How will you improve this on your own? Like, we've had this conversation before, right, Kaylin? And other times, if the presentation is in 2-3 weeks, you need to be a coach and be like, okay, look, this is what we're going to do. These are the specific skills I'm going to help you improve on. So that's what I think needs to be improved about mentorship in the university context, right? It's about knowing when to keep things open-ended, where the focus is on making the other person develop as an individual, and knowing when to be a coach, right? Like, when the focus is really on honing specific skills in a specified frame of time. Yeah, so I think that's what we kind of need to be more flexible on as mentors in SMU.
Actually, guys, if you don't mind me asking, I'm pretty curious. Is there any point where you think that a mentee, right, has gotten a lot of advice from various mentors, but how does she or he distinguish between what advice she should take and what advice she shouldn't?
I think in life, right, there's no such thing as a right answer. So they can have multiple mentors giving them different advice, and there's really, okay, there is wrong advice, but then even if you take the wrong advice, it just means that you get to a certain point at a much later time. But I think the most important thing, and I mean the most important thing that you should be focusing on, is that it's better than not doing anything. And there are some people out there who really just I think that was your call, like entrepreneurs, or maybe, oh, I really wanted to learn Photoshop, or I want to learn coding, but they only say, oh, I want to, but they've never really like, okay, how do I get to learn coding? I can go into this website to learn. Do I have to pay money for a course? Yeah. So the most important thing that I feel that is that you advice that mentors or anybody that give you are all good advice, but you may not know what is right. And it's okay. As long as you just pick one and decide and build your action plan. How do you follow what the mentor say and reach to what you want to achieve? Because ultimately, it's always about how you can improve yourself as an individual.
Hmm. Yeah, exactly what Michael said, right? A mentor is really more of a resource that you can use as you wish, right? So you might go in thinking, let's say if I want to learn coding or Photoshop, I have options A and B. And this is where the onus is on the mentor to say that, look, I wouldn't say that X is the right option, but these are some things that I considered, and these are some things that my friends who have learned Photoshop have done, for example. And then what then happens is that the mentee, exercising their own discretion, then leaves that conversation knowing that, okay, so now I know about more options, right? Like, maybe there's options A to E, and these are some things that worked out for my mentor, and these are some things that don't work. So it's not so much that they come out leaving with, okay, like, I should do C, right? But they know more, and that they're now better equipped to have that, you know, decision-making process on their own.
I think one more point that I want to bring out is that sometimes you can know, like, whether the person is giving good sound advice is, for example, if you're reaching out to somebody, let's say I have this, Caitlin used to ask me, somebody told me about, let's say, to do data analytics, somebody, you need to learn, X or Y, but then my personal experience, I realized that actually you shouldn't be doing X because X is really slow, and I would be saying that from my experience, you shouldn't be doing X. So sometimes you look at the person's previous experience. Is it was it something that he was doing, or but in a totally different path, or is it what I'm doing, and I'm used to be at where you used to be, and this is what I've done and how I was able to be improved. Yeah, that's one way to know whether I should be following a certain person's advice.
Well, thank you for your time, Kai and Michael. This has been a very productive session, and I think that the listeners have learned a lot more about mentoring and where to go from here.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you for your time. So, Kaylin, for the purpose of, for just advertisement purposes, could you tell me more about the Mentoring Circle and what it stands for?
The Mentoring Circle was made to recognize the institution's top contributors and further accelerate their abilities to actually give back to the societies around them. So throughout the year, the circle will actually host several events for members which includes circle initiation, professional mentoring workshops, alumni sharing, as well as other social events.
It brings us to the end of our first mentoring podcast. If you have, please check us out on LinkedIn, Facebook, and our own website. And if you have any queries regarding TMC, please feel free to reach out to the EXCO. Our contact details will be readily available on these websites. Thank you, and see you next time.